Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is God's word. The Philistines gathered their forces for war at Socah in Judah and camped between Socah and Azekah and Ephes-Damim. Saul and the men of Israel gathered and camped in the valley of Elah. Then they lined up in battle formation to face the Philistines. The Philistines were standing on one hill, and the Israelites were standing on another hill with a ravine between them. Then a champion named Goliath from Gath came out from the Philistine camp. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall and wore a bronze helmet and a bronze scale armor that weighed 125 pounds. There was bronze armor on his shins, and a bronze javelin was slung between his shoulders. His spear shaft was like a weaver's beam, and the iron point of his spear weighed 15 pounds. In addition, a shield bearer was walking in front of him. He stood and shouted to the Israelite battle formations, "Why do you come out to line up in battle formation?" he asked them. "Am I not a Philistine and you are not servants of Saul? Are you not servants of Saul? Choose one of your men and have him come down against me. If he wins in a fight against me and kills me, we will be your servants. But if I win against him and kill him, then you will be our servants and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel today. Send me a man so we can fight each other." When Saul and all Israel heard these words from the Philistine, they lost their courage and were terrified. Now, David was the son of the Ephrathite from Bethlehem of Judah named Jesse. Jesse had 8 sons and during Saul's reign was already an old man. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war, and their names were Eliab, the firstborn, Abinadab, the next, and Shammah, the third. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest had followed Saul, but David kept going back and forth from Saul to tend his father's flock in Bethlehem. Every morning and evening for 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand. One day, Jesse told his son David, "Take this half bushel of roasted grain along with these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Also, take these 10 portions of cheese to the field commander. Check on the well-being of your brothers and bring a confirmation from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines." So David got up early in the morning, left the flock with someone to keep it, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had charged him. He arrived at the perimeter of the camp as the army was marching out to its battle formation, shouting their battle cry. Israel and the Philistines lined up in battle formation facing each other. David left his supplies in the care of the quartermaster and ran to the battle line. When he arrived, he asked his brothers how they were. While he was speaking with them, suddenly the champion named Goliath, the Philistine from Gath, came forward from the Philistine battle line and shouted his usual words, which David heard. When all the Israelite men saw Goliath, they retreated from him, terrified. Previously, an Israelite man had declared, "Do you see this man who keeps coming out? He comes to defy Israel. The king will make the man who kills him very rich and will give him his daughter. The king will also make the family of that man's father exempt from paying taxes in Israel." David spoke to the men who were standing with him. "What will be done for the man who kills that Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Just who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" The troops told him about the offer, concluding that is what will be done for the man who kills him. David's oldest brother, Eliab, listened as he spoke to the men, and he became angry with him. "Why did you come down here?" he asked. "Who did you leave those few sheep with in the wilderness? I know your arrogance and your evil heart. You came down to see the battle." "What have I done now?" protested David. "It was just a question." Then he turned from those beside him to others in front of him and asked about the offer. The people gave him the same answer as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, so he had David brought to him. David said to Saul, "Don't let anyone be discouraged by him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." But Saul replied, "You can't go down. You can't go fight this Philistine. You're just a youth, and he's been a warrior since he was young." David answered Saul, "Your servant has been tending his father's sheep. Whenever a lion or a bear came and carried off a lamb from the flock, I went after it, struck it down, and rescued the lamb from its mouth. If it reared up against me, I would grab it by its fur, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." Then David said, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul had his own military clothes put on David. He put a bronze helmet on David's head and had him put on his armor. David strapped his sword on over the military clothes and tried to walk, but he was not used to them. "I can't walk in these," David said to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So David took them off. Instead, he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in the pouch in his shepherd's bag. Then, with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. The Philistine came closer and closer to David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he despised him because he was just a youth, healthy and handsome. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come against me with sticks?" Then he cursed David by his gods. "Come here," the Philistine called to David, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword, spear, and javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the ranks of Israel. You have defied him. Today, the Lord will hand you over to me. Today, I'll strike you down, remove your head, and give the corpses of the Philistine camp to the birds of the sky and the wild creatures of the earth. Then all the world will know that Israel has a God. And this whole assembly will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. He will hand you over to us." When the Philistines started forward to attack him, David ran quickly to the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in the bag, took out a stone, slung it, and hit the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. David defeated the Philistine with a sling and a stone. David overpowered the Philistine and killed him without having a sword. David ran and stood over him. He grabbed the Philistine's sword, pulled it from its sheath, and used it to kill him. Then he cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and Judah rallied, shouting their battle cry, and chased the Philistines to the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. Philistine bodies were strewn all along the Shaarim road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from the pursuit of the Philistines, they plundered their camps. David took Goliath's head and brought it to Jerusalem. He put Goliath's weapons in his own tent. When Saul had seen David going out to confront the Philistine, he asked Abner, the commander of the army, "Whose son is this youth, Abner?" "Your majesty, as surely as you live, I don't know," Abner replied. The king said, "Find out whose son this young man is." When David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the Philistine's head still in his hand. Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" "The son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem," David answered. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
First of all, try to understand what's going on in this story. This literally was a giant problem. There was a giant. There was a guy who was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. That's tall. And he was not just tall and wanting to dominate the basketball league. He was a warrior, a killer, and he was challenging the army of Israel. But nobody on Israel's side wanted to fight a 9-foot, 9-inch giant. Can you blame them? You heard about how much his armor weighed, 125 pounds. The guy's walking around with 125 pounds of armor on. He's carrying a spear, and the tip of the spear weighed 15 pounds. He's carrying it around ready to throw it. It's like an incoming missile. So nobody wants to fight the giant. He has issued a terrifying challenge. It is so terrifying that every time he challenges them, they not only lose courage, they fall back in fear. There's an impasse here. For 40 days, they've been stuck. That's the situation. And that's the situation David walked into. Now, how did David get into that situation? How did David end up there? His father sent him. And when his father sent him, David, being a responsible shepherd, entrusted the sheep to someone else and then did what his father said. That's important because David is about to run into not only the challenge of Goliath, but before he can fight Goliath, he's going to have to face at least 3 obstacles. And I want you to understand something. There are various challenges you're going to face in life. But before you can deal with the real issue, you are likely to face other distractions. You are likely to face other obstacles that will try to bog you down, roadblock you, keep you from dealing with the real big problem. Three things that David faced, which he did not allow to stop him from fighting Goliath. The first was mixed motives. Mixed motives. What do you mean? Well, if you look at verse 25, 26, 27, and 30, you see that there was a reward for anybody who killed Goliath. And David heard about it, and then asked about it, and then asked about it again. Three times David heard and asked about the reward. He was interested. Well, what was the reward? Well, first you get a lot of money. Anybody here be interested in getting rich? Okay. Second thing is, you get to marry the princess. You get to be the son-in-law of the king. And then there's a third thing. The third thing is, you get to go home and tell Dad, guess what, Dad? You don't have to pay taxes anymore. I just defeated a giant, and now, for the rest of your life, you and the rest of our family are exempt from taxes. So, there were mixed motives on David's part. So he was just in this for those rewards? No. David was in this for the glory of God. David was motivated by his desire that God's name not be dragged through the dirt, that the people of Israel not lose sight of the fact that God is God, and that the Philistines and the rest of the world should know that there is only one true God, and it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So David wasn't just a guy with bad motives, but David, with all of his good, noble, godly motives, also thought it would be nice to get rich and perhaps to marry a princess and definitely to be able to tell Dad he doesn't have to pay taxes anymore. So, why is that important for you? Well, first of all, because God put it in the text, and therefore we ought to pay attention to it. Not only included it there, he emphasized it there. As I said, there are four verses that deal with this. But the second reason it's important is because when you go to do anything for the Lord, even something God is calling you to do, one of the attacks that the enemy might very well use is to tell you you're not doing this for the right reasons. Why do you want to get married? For the glory of God. I believe I can be more effective in serving Him if I have a partner in ministry. Well, that's nice. So you don't really care about who it is you marry? Oh, well, yes, no, I definitely care. So you're saying you would like to marry someone that really appeals to you in other ways besides just the glory of God. Yeah, I guess that's true. It's okay. David had mixed motives, but he didn't let that stop him from doing what God was calling him to do, which was to kill the giant. If he'd stood around and said, you know, I really shouldn't care about the wealth and the princess, and I guess it's okay to want my dad's family to be exempt from taxes. Maybe I could turn down the other things. If he had done that, he never would have fought Goliath. Instead, he focused not on the reward. He got his eyes beyond that, and he focused on the real issue, which was the glory of God. You understand? If you're going to do something in the service of our Lord, you're going to need to be able to get past the fact that you are imperfect. It's ultimately not about you. David not only had to deal with mixed motives, David had to deal with unjust criticism. If you're going to serve the Lord, you will face unjust criticism. In fact, knowing a little bit about the nature of life, I will tell you that if you aren't bent on serving the Lord, you will face unjust criticism. All right? Where does this come in? In verse 28, David's oldest brother Eliab listened as he spoke to the men, and he became angry with him. "Why did you come down here?" he asked. "Who did you leave those few sheep with in the wilderness? I know your arrogance and your evil heart. You came down to see the battle." Was that a true or false statement? Absolutely false. Absolutely false. Well, why would Eliab, his oldest brother, be so irritated by David? Well, do you remember what happened in the previous chapter? Imagine how he felt when they all had to wait dinner until Jesse's youngest son, David, is brought in from the fields. The shepherd boy shows up, and the prophet says, "This is the one." No wonder Eliab couldn't stand David. David's response was to shrug it off. David said, verse 29, "What have I done now?" It was just a question. And then he turned from those beside him to others in front of him, and he asked them about the offer. He kept up with what he was doing, having just said to his brother, "What have I done now?" Okay? He did not bother to answer unjust criticism. And you know why? Because if it's unjust criticism, you'll never satisfy the other party. You will never satisfy the other party. You can't do it. Because they're not interested in truth. They're just venting their own bile. So David was not deterred by mixed motives. He was not deterred by unjust criticism. And he had a third obstacle he had to face. It was unhelpful help. Unhelpful help. It took two forms in David's case. If you look at verses 33 through 39, the first was unspiritual counsel. Saul said, "You can't do this. You're just a kid, and that guy has been a warrior from his youth. You cannot fight him." The reason that that unspiritual counsel was completely false is it left God out of the equation. David responds by bringing God back into the equation and saying, "I have faced lions and bears, and the Lord gave me victory. The Lord who gave me victory over the lion and the bear will give me victory over this giant." Anybody who tries to give you counsel, however well-intentioned, if they're leaving God out of the equation, if God isn't the dominant factor who absolutely shapes the rest of it, if it's not according to His word, that's unhelpful help. That's not good counsel. Unspiritual counsel. But then the second thing was, when Saul agrees for David to go and fight, he says, "But I want you to wear my armor." But David politely tried on the armor and then said, "I'm sorry, I can't wear this." You and I may not only be given unspiritual counsel, we may be tempted at times to try and use somebody else's spiritual gift, to try and do something that we are not called to. And in order for us to have victory, we don't need to imitate somebody else. We need to do what God has called us to do and be what God has called us to be and use the gifts that God has entrusted to us. David took what he knew and relied upon the Lord to give him victory. You and I are reminded in Ephesians chapter 6 that we better not get bogged down with a bunch of things that aren't the real enemy. Our real enemy, according to Ephesians 6, is spiritual. Don't let these other smaller temporary obstacles distract you from the real enemy. The real enemy is supernatural, and the victory comes through the Lord.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.